1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall prove by your letters, them will I send, and bring your liberality to Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now when I come unto you, when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door, an effectual, is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. So, again, a collection for the saints. There were some poor saints enduring a lot of persecution at Jerusalem. And Paul is... there was a collection for the saints going on. And he gave an order to the church of Galatia. He's saying, copy that order. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering. He doesn't want to come and have a collecting, a money drive. He didn't want to have any gatherings when he came, meaning gatherings of gathering money, collecting money for the saints. You know, this word is used in the papyri, the ancient languages as used for tax. Can be used for tax gathering. So he didn't want to have these collections taken up when he got there. He didn't want to, when people come to church and it's like, oh, let's have a gathering. It's the prophet so-and-so. Let's have a gathering. Oh, yes. And they want to start, let's have a collection for this, a collection for that. He wanted to avoid that. But when he came, you approve somebody saying, and that person will I send to bring your liberality, literally grace, charis, or gift, to Jerusalem. When I come, I'll send someone to Jerusalem. I suppose they wanted him to send a letter or some sort of recommendation or something. When he came, he didn't want there to be a gathering, but he said, you pick some guy and I'll send him. Oh, and if it be meet that I go also, they will go with me. I mean, if I go to Jerusalem, we'll go together. And he says, I will come unto you now when I go through pass through Macedonia. For I do pass, I'm going that way. So I hope to come with you, and I hope to abide and winter with you. Spend the winter there. That you could bring me on my journey wherever I go, and I will not see you now. By the way, meaning on my way now. But he's saying, I'd like to spend some time with you. But Paul was a man very demanding. A lot of people loved him. A lot of people wanted to spend his time there. And he had to somewhat divide and make decisions and deny others and give others. And depending on what the need was, so he would do. Again, if the Lord will permit. But he's saying, I'm going to stay at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door, an effectual, Ephesus is in Asia Minor, and an effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Paul had a lot of enemies at Ephesus. Great is Diana of Ephesus. Great is Diana. He had run into some pretty heavy opposition at Ephesus until Pentecost. What he's saying is, I'm going to stay there until Pentecost. If Timothy has come, see that he may be with you. He's considering sending Timothy. He didn't know if he would for sure or not. But see that he be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I do also. Timothy was a long time companion of Paul, sort of his understudy, and he's giving them instructions on how to, he wanted to make sure they understood how they ought to receive him. Let no man despise him. Again, in another place, he said, "Let no man despise your youth." Paul was a mature man. Timothy was relatively younger, not incredibly younger. You know, when he talks, Timothy, though seriously, you know, you look at Jesus when he was preaching, people said, "You are not yet 50 years old." A man under 50 was not given a whole lot of respect. As I don't expect really to get much respect at my age. I'm 35. I really don't expect a lot of respect for what I have to say. I know most people want to see old men. I look forward to the day when I'm 50. You know why? Not just because I will get more respect, but because I will have grown so much wiser by then. I look at some men who are old and have not grown wise, and I marvel. They've just gotten more and more foolish. That's sad. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come to me. For I look for him with the brethren. I'm waiting for Timothy. I'm always looking for him. Where is Timothy? When's he coming? So he's saying, if he come, let him be with you and send him on his way. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren. But his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. And Apollos was one of the ones at the beginning of where some people were trying to make him into a sect. I have Apollos, you know. And he didn't necessarily say they were trying to make a sect out of him, but he says, I have in a figure transferred these things to Apollos and I. Because it could have been guys you never even heard of, that Paul was being gentle. Paul sometimes mentions his enemies, but not always. Some enemies remain unnamed because I think Paul might have hope for them that they would repent. You could be, some say I am a, you know, he might have been, you know, at the beginning of 1 Corinthians when he says, I have Apollos and I have Peter, they might have been saying, well, I'm of Fred and I'm of George. Now, Paul didn't want to embarrass Fred and George, so he, in a figure, transferred that to Apollos and himself. That, because if anyone had a claim, it were the men who brought the gospel, not these other comeuppance. That'd be like me. You know, it's like, I'd rather say, it'd be better to say you're of Paul or of Apollos than to say I'm of Stringini or of Luther or of any of other guys. Is, you know, I mean, it's like, though we learn from each other, let us be of the apostles, let us be of the prophets, let's be of Christ, but not being divided along those lines, but rather unified in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Though I tell you, in the world we live in today, there's so much division. And it can't be unified because it's perverse. We have to be unified in the truth, in the true gospel. Some people are going to say, well, how do you know the difference? Well, that's the thing. You don't. Every man has to go according to what God gives him. You can't just up and decide. I do up and decide, but it's based on whatever is in me to choose. I would like to be free, but freedom implies an ability to choose equally between things. So much we are not able to choose equally, as if they were equal, because in our mind, so many things weigh heavily. I know we can find specific examples where they don't, but ultimately, nothing's equal. I mean, as far as those, you know, like, to believe in this doctrine or that doctrine, at different times things change, but they're never equal in our minds. I mean, we could be stuck between two things, but that's more of an illusion. I suppose. Verse 13. Watch ye and stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. I mean, it's literally andriomai. Act manly. Be strong. Empower. Increase in vigor. It means to get stronger. How do you get stronger? Work out, right? Physically? How about spiritually? You work out spiritually. Engross yourself in the Word. Follow after prayer. seek after righteousness. Awake to righteousness. Sin not. Every time we avoid sin, we grow stronger. You know, even when we fail, there can be an imperceptible increase in strength. Like when I was teaching my kids to do pull-ups, they couldn't do pull-ups. I would just be like, just try and fail. Just strain and not be able to lift yourself. Because that also will make you stronger. Because each time you get a millimeter close to actually doing it. So just the strain. I mean, if you just yield yourself to it completely and drop off, you won't get any stronger. If you don't even try. But even a little try gets you a little stronger. Right? But ultimately, again, I'm not a big pull you up by your own bootstraps kind of guy. I'm more of a, while it is honorable to strain like that, and I think God has ordained that we should strain like that, ultimately, there's a breakthrough, and that's of God. You know, the strain is there for our benefit. But the breakthrough, sometimes the breakthrough comes when we're at our most destitute and unable after trying so much and when we're ready to give up. Spiritual things don't work just like the body. You know, it's just every analogy has its limits. Let all your things be done with charity, with love. With that love, which is in the benevolent sense, love in the sense of, wanting what is best, with thinking charitably towards other people. I beseech you, brethren, know the house of Stephanas, that is, it is the first fruits of Achaia, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Wow, addict yourself to the ministry of the saints. I like that. I'm addicted to the ministry of the saints, meaning to ministering to the saints. I like that. I think that's the only place addicted really means like they've assigned themselves. They have arranged, addicted. I like the word addicted, though today that word addiction has taken on a totally new meaning. I'm sure in King James time they didn't talk about, he's got a real mead addiction. You know, it was not the way they used the word. But it still means the same thing. You know, to be totally given over to something. He says, so that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I mean, people like that, submit to them. People who are really given to the ministry of the saints. I mean, they serve the saints. They have dedicated the whole house. They were the first fruits of Achaia, Stephanas. They gave themselves to the ministry. You know what I mean? Of not just Paul. When he says saints, he doesn't mean St. Paul, St. Peter. No, he means when it talks about the ministry, the serving the saints, it means the little people. Because you understand, Christianity, the saints aren't these exalted people. The saints are the smallest people in your church. They are the least among you, are saints. Because we're all saints in Christ. The Catholic idea of saints is just nonsense. They've made it an exclusive club to which you'll never belong. You'll never be a saint. Saints got to be elected by the Pope. When the Pope and all his bishops are not even saints. A saint is a holy one. Holy means he is set aside. They have a special purpose. It harkens to election. It's the selection of God. For a special purpose, they are set aside. They are something special. Not that they're special in and of themselves, except that they're special because God has chosen them to become something special. as far as from my perspective, I don't know about from God's perspective how he sees things, but from our perspective, the choice is somewhat arbitrary. Because he chooses wise and fools. He chooses the strong and the weak. And mostly he chooses from the weak. Mostly he chooses people that you don't think he would choose. Meaning, they don't merit it, you know. And that none of us, even the wise among us, don't merit it. But he chooses us in spite of many things about us. So, because we appear much like the wicked, you know, except that in the character, in our essential character, we become changed by when all is said and done. And that change occurs by the power of God, by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, by the power of the resurrection. It's a real power. I'm so thankful to be partaker of it, at least to the small degree that I have. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Well, he's not trying to be, you know, sometimes this almost sounds like he's ribbing at him, but, whatever you didn't supply, he supplied. You know, Stephanas was, you know, meaning, let's say, you know, oh, they sent us so much, they were so thankful, but there wasn't, water bottles or a sewing kit or whatever he happened to need. You know, I'm just throwing things out there, you know. Oh, and Stephanas supplied whatever was needed that was not given already. I mean, you know, they sent some stuff that they thought he would need, and Stephanas came along and said, is there anything else you need? Oh, yeah, there are a few things I need. And he supplied it. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. And there was a church in their house. It's interesting because today, you know, we think of a church as being a place. But the church, ecclesia, literally ekklesia. Ek is out. And ecclesia comes from the idea of being called. It means called out. A called out group of people is the church. And our word church comes from the German Kirche, which I'm not sure what the derivation of that is, but it's not from ecclesia, called out ones. You know, the church could be easily translated better, probably the election. With the election that is in their house. With the elect ones. With the selected that is in their house. There was a group of select men and women called out of God who met in the house of Priscilla and Aquila. So the church was in their house. And these days, you know, you don't really think of it in that term. And a lot of times, it could just be their household. Their people, you know, their maidservants, their men servants, the women, the children. All the people that actually lived in their house, that could be just the church right there. Because sometimes the whole house would be converted. And that would become a church unto itself. I guess that's what I should say. People say, where do you go to church? I go to church at my church is at my house. Who's in it? Oh, me, my wife, my kids. The whole house is in the church. All the brethren greet you one another with a holy kiss. A holy kiss. What do you mean? Holy is separate, special. You know, a special kind of kiss. Not just like a, you know, something we would give occasion for, you know. It's obvious what it's meant, you know. The salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. He had a scribe who would actually write his epistles, and he would actually write a salutation himself at the end. With my own hand. See? And he might have wrote this last couple of verses too, I suppose. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be cursed. That's what anathema means. It means cursed. Maranatha. which is Aramaic. It means, "Our Lord, come." Maranatha. It means, "Our Lord has come," actually. It is an exclamation of the approaching divine judgment. Our Lord has come. He's come into his kingdom, and the kingdom is coming to earth. He is enthroned in heaven, it says. But shortly, heaven must come here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, because that is essential. My love with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. God has to be gracious towards us. That's how he chooses us. That's the grace of God. He chose me in spite of what I was. In spite of what I've been. Even to this day, his grace has to abide with me. And even when I overcome sin, I still need his grace to stay that way. You know? So the children greet you. The brethren greet you. Greet you one another with a holy kiss. I'm sorry. And the solitude... Oh, but again, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. That's what I was saying before in chapter 15 about curses. If you don't follow the doctrine, you don't know Christ. You know what I mean? That's why it's like, if you don't love the doctrine of Jesus Christ, let's say pertaining to the resurrection of the dead, because that is our Lord. Our Lord is identified by his doctrine. Meaning, if you have a different doctrine than the doctrine of Jesus taught, and you're saying, well, Jesus didn't teach X, he taught Y. Well, the real Jesus that I follow didn't teach Y, he taught X. So whatever you're talking about, now you're not talking about Jesus Christ, the real guy. You're talking about an idol, which you have named Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus Christ, it's accursed. You're accursed. Because you love not the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I love Jesus. I love the story of his death and resurrection. Yeah, but you deny everything that pertains to that. You've got to have all the doctrine. Well, maybe not every, you know, tiny little thing in the scripture you have to understand. No, no, no. But what I mean is the gospel of Jesus Christ is his death, burial, and resurrection. And all that that means. The resurrection that is coming. You know, the foundation of Christianity is repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the resurrection of the dead, the laying on of hands, eternal judgment, and the baptisms. You know, that's not the order he gave it in. But those things are all intertwined with the gospel. That's all part of the good news. Because that's what the gospel is. It is good news. If you don't love the good news concerning Jesus Christ, and love the man and what he taught. If you don't love that, you are accursed. Meaning, and what does that mean? In the Old Testament, they used the term to mean that which is dedicated to destruction. The cursed thing. Something which is destined for destruction. It is made to be destroyed. God hath created all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. The wicked were created for the evil day, the day of destruction and perdition of ungodly men.